What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy April 22nd, Tuesday to you. Well, we've had a day to lick our wounds for the Grizzlies' attempt to work in some adjustments. Since being on the wrong end of worst game one lost in NBA history. Now we'll see what game two holds. Grizzlies have certainly been challenged both by, NBA analysts and by local media, and I'm sure by the organization itself. We'll see the answer. We'll see the response in game two tonight. 6:30 game. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we've got a game that starts at a normal time. Not the late game like we had in the play-in. And not a noon game, which felt funky in that first playoff game as well. This is a 6:30 tip. Excited about that. A normal time. I'm usually at my best. I don't know about you guys. Around that time, around dinner time. Should be nice and sharp. Grizzlies, nice and big underdogs. 14.5 points. Last I looked. We know what they're up against. Can you get a better performance from particularly the big three? That is the question going into tonight. There have been some charges against that big three. Kendrick Perkins certainly had some say, so Stephen A. Smith, all of it relating to Memphis's 51-point game one loss. Surely it will be better tonight. Last night was good. Detroit, Knicks, that was good. Clippers, Denver, that was good. Did you see Kawhi? My goodness. A throwback. Jordan-esque. 15 of 19 from the floor for Kawhi in the win. We'll talk about that. In addition to Grizzlies, you got Bucks Pacers tonight. You got Timberwolves Lakers. A lot to get to. And then we're just 2 days out from the NFL draft, which weirdly is in Green Bay. But I'm not worried about that. Worry about who the Bears are going to take at 10.
Or maybe they trade up, right?
Perhaps. We have an extra second
chatter.
Rounder.
There's been some chatter today.
Good. And you tell me, my partner extraordinaire here, John Martin, I love working with him every day, that Penny's talking about PJ.
Yeah, Pete.
Is that happening right now?
Penny Hardaway was talking earlier today, and PJ Haggerty came up, of course. So this is kind of the first time we've actually heard from Penny since the season ended, right?
Very interested to hear those comments.
We will certainly talk to, or not talk to, but talk about what Penny had to say. We actually have some audio that we'll get to a little bit later in the show. So looking forward to that. Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. We'll discuss game two tonight with Grizzlies OKC, as you mentioned, a 14.5 point favorite. A sweep right now is -120 as most likely outcome. So, I mean, you're not winning tonight, obviously, but, you know, can you try to, for the good of Memphis, for yellow fever, for civil rights,
everything we've been
for, Lorraine Motel for...
Well, it's not going to mean that much. It's really not.
I was trying.
Yeah, you go too far.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Should I think I should be suspended.
Really?
Yes, for at least 3.5, maybe 5 weeks.
Okay.
So I'll take that up with management. But we'll see. Can they get one game? Is really the only drama when it comes to this series, right? Unfortunately, you know, you've run into it. You've run into it with the OKC Thunder, and you know, the challenges just don't play as poorly as you played last game, which should be pretty easy to do. I mean, you lost by 51, so a 40-point loss would be notable improvement for this Grizzlies team. And so we'll talk to Jessica Benson about that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz scheduled to join us. So that's what we're going to do today, ladies and gentlemen. That's our show. And, you know, yeah, last night, I think we should talk a little bit about last night.
Let's do that.
Because I don't honestly think I have 20 minutes on a preview for the Grizzlies. I'm going to be real. I mean, I can give you 5-minute spurts. Like a good rotation player.
Whatever you need to do, be comfortable.
But I don't think I have 20 minutes of, you know, of action for you on Grizzlies preview. Kawhi Leonard, you mentioned, made history last night with his performance against the Denver Nuggets. He tied Shaq and Kareem with 4 playoff games with 30 points on 75% plus shooting from the field. That dude was unbelievable. 15 of 19 from the floor last night against the Denver Nuggets. And
he's also taking threes. The two guys you mentioned probably, was it Shaq and Kareem?
Yeah, they were at the rim, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't doing that. No. But making it maybe the most impressive.
I mean, I would certainly argue that.
Especially then you see the one end hit at the end of the first half when he's basically double clutching, leaning away from a guy to hit it, put him up 3 at the half. Unbelievable, the shot making.
Amazing.
Last night. It looked like just prime Kawhi.
Yes.
And I thought that guy was gone.
Yes. Yes. And he's, you know, he's back.
That guy we saw. That was Jordan-esque.
It was.
That performance last night.
And I think, you know, somebody made the point on Twitter last night that Kawhi is like the only player in the NBA that everybody loves to watch, like, play well. Like, he has
When he's in that bag, it is fun. Like I said, it wasn't just mid-range. He was hitting, you know, this shot he hit before halftime just shows you. I keep using that one because it just shows you the confidence level. It must have felt huge for him, 15 and 19. And again, he's out there shooting threes. This was the thing we said yesterday. He's going to bounce back. Remember, he didn't do anything in overtime. They blew that first one, blew a big lead, lost in overtime where he didn't do anything.
Yep.
I think finished with 22. You got masterful Kawhi in that one.
Yep.
On both ends of the floor. As well, because he was guarding his tail off like old Kawhi too.
Yeah.
At the same time, which made it even more impressive.
Yeah, 39 in 39 on 19 shots. So,
and held Denver to 5 points on 2 of 12 field goals as the primary defender.
Yeah, I mean that's
2 of 12 guys he was holding, and so I mean both ends, incredible.
It really is. Really a great job by the Clippers in the response. I mean they were leading for the majority of game one.
No, one way or the other, they won't have home court going back to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, figured it'd be one.
Yep.
I mean, maybe they get, you know, two. But for those of us that liked Clippers going into this series,
yeah,
you feel pretty good right now because you've stolen home court.
And listen, that was a coin flip game, right? Aaron Gordon misses the dunk. I mean, that would have put him up one.
Yeah.
They missed 8 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jokic missed like 5 of them. So, you know, I mean, that's... You know, if you shoot 80% from the foul line, right, that's 2 points there. The dunk is 2. That's, you know, that's the difference in a game like that. You know, the big question for them is how are they going to stop Kawhi Leonard? I mean, they tried to send a double at him in this one, but.
I mean, they could easily be down 0-2.
Totally right.
You know.
Yeah. And now you got Michael Porter Jr. who responded in an amazing way.
I thought so. It was funny. Watching him hit shots last night right after we talked about him.
Yeah, I mean, he had 15 rebounds. He was
everywhere. I didn't realize he had that many boards either.
Yeah, he met the moment. Unfortunately, he's hurt now. He has an AC joint sprain in his shoulder because he took a hard fall there on a turnover late. So his status is up in the air, and you know this team is already thin as is.
And that margin for error for them is too thin. You add that with the 20 turnovers that the Clippers feasted on. Last night.
Yep.
They're losing that series.
Absolutely.
It might be already too big a hill to climb.
Well, that's why I think it's Clippers minus 200 now going back to L.A.
Like you said, you could have been up 2-0 too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
with the end of that game was there for you.
And it was.
You didn't get it at home. You lose home court advantage.
Yeah, so it was a fun game last night. This has definitely been the most interesting series of the playoffs, no doubt about it. I mean, two games decided by a combined 5 points. Nothing else has really even been close. So,
Well, Knicks, Pistons, and just the way we realize Pistons' unbelievable right. blown fourth quarter lead almost did it again. It felt, but that one is chippy, bro.
Yeah, no, it is.
You see, I mean, between Brunson and the back and forth
yeah.
that they've got going on, it doesn't feel maybe yeah. as close or whatever else, but. That one's got a little bit of fun to it, too, especially with Detroit responding the way it did. I didn't mean to get ahead of ourselves there, but
yeah.
Detroit is all the way in that series.
Yeah,
Knicks
no, you're
in
right.
trouble, especially Karl-Anthony Towns didn't score in the second half.
Yeah.
Should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, they don't know, you know, what to do with Cat. They don't know how to use Cat. Well, I don't even know why you traded for him, you know. But that's an intriguing series. You're right. It's intriguing.
Yeah, Detroit's got no business, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't.
They were plus 310 before the series started.
Worst record in the league last couple of years?
And, yeah.
And anyway, yeah, I've enjoyed that one because, boy, Brunson was getting hot last
yeah.
night.
Yeah, he was.
You can tell those teams don't like each other. And Cunningham stepped up to it. Cade's after a game once, his first playoff game, understandable. Game last night, he responded after seeing game one. Hey, this is a different level. Last night, man, he was awesome.
Yes. Yes, he was. All right, that takes us to game two tonight. Now, we have all been in scenarios where we were counted out, you know, where the odds were stacked against us. You know, for me, it was fifth grade accelerated reader. Mm. They said, you can't read, man. What are you doing? You think you're going to pass, et cetera? You can't even read. I said, watch this.
Who tells a fifth grader that?
Oh, you know, you got teachers out here.
Act like they got you, like you got no hope.
They said you can't read.
Some of them were in MCS.
And so I know what it feels like to be a 14.5 point underdog. You know, I was a 14.5 word underdog on that accelerated reader test.
And look at you now.
And look at me now, man.
Entropy, high entropy.
I don't know what to. I was gonna try to do a speech, man, but then.
Mm-mm.
I looked myself in the mirror and I said, nah, dog, you don't believe. So how can you even act? How can you even? I was actually going to read Barack Obama's inauguration speech or his election speech
on
November 5th, 2008.
Don't waste that.
But I guess I'll save that one.
Waste that precious
speech. It was actually a great speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic speech. Do you remember it by chance?
No.
All right, well,
you want me to quote it word for word?
Well, no, I just asked you.
You were the ones prepped up here.
So if
we're doing speech, we're not doing
no,
speech.
No, we're not doing speech.
Where's this going? Because we've actually got some audio.
Okay, so but it's not Barack Obama's election night speech.
Nope.
All right, well, someday we should do that one.
But if we are looking for interesting things to say about this game, I do think it starts someplace that you and I were having a conversation yesterday, and that's about the big three. It's funny, that conversation continued, and it continued nationally yesterday with guys like Stephen A. Smith calling out Ja Morant after he had defended him in many ways a few weeks ago, especially that first gun gesture with Buddy Hield. Not so much second one, but despite set that to the side, he was on Ja Morant about the body language, what he called laughing in a 51-point loss. And you had Kendrick Perkins on NBA Today yesterday after we had this conversation, a very real conversation I think needs to be had about Jaren Jackson Jr. You had him yesterday saying this on NBA Today.
Number one, y'all not going to win Tuesday. But number two, I believe Ja Morant, but I don't believe Jaren Jackson Jr. Let's have an uncomfortable conversation real quick.
Oh, goodness.
He is the most overhyped player in this league. He's not even a top 10 big in my eyes. And here's why I'm going at him. Forget the fact that you fired your coach 8 games left in the season and you need him to step up. Forget the fact that Ja Morant probably shouldn't be playing because he's taking shots every damn day to stay on the floor because we know how severe that ankle sprain is. Forget the fact that he is a former defensive player of the year. Forget the fact that he made an all-star team this year. Matter of fact, forget the fact that he had 4-3. Do you realize 43 was my jersey number in Boston? Do you realize 4-3 is what I average? You're an all-star, bro. They need you to step up at the biggest times. I don't care. It's a make or miss league. You're going to miss shots. But there's no way in hell that Jaren Jackson Jr. should ever leave a game without having double-figure rebounds and being impactful on the defensive side of things. So when I look at the Memphis Grizzlies and I look at this matchup against Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren, you got to impose your will. You can't have them switching Alex Caruso on you and you're settling for threes and you can't get 2 feet in the paint and punish them on these mismatches. When I think about him, yes, it is 10 bigs that I would take over him right now. He was an all-star, yeah.
Home grid.
He did get that one off. And remember, he came on one and said, go Bert. But he's corrected that since then.
Well, he's going to have to correct this one.
I've heard some criticism of this. I would ask you, slide or right? It's probably a good way to frame that. And I'm not just playing that because Kendrick Perkins came on a few weeks ago and was critical of the Grizzlies at a time that I was, and ooh, now I think I'm buddy-buddy with him.
Yeah.
I think this hit. Remember, he said this after us yesterday.
Yeah.
The stuff about Jaren, Caruso, all of this was after us, and I think where the conversation should be. It was a challenge. I'd ask you, old segment, was it slight or right?
Well,
slight or was it right?
I don't know if I would go all the way with the most overhyped. I don't believe that. I don't believe he's the most overhyped player in the league. But
fair. Absolutely.
And
a good call. A good call.
What I do.
He's not the most overhyped.
Find interesting is that Jaren Jackson Jr. is a guy that is going to be most likely on a supermax type of contract, and has managed to really avoid slash skirt any real national criticism of his game ever. Like, not even that there should have been, but that he's just never even thought of as a guy who you would call out on national media, right? Like, he's never, you know, people have called out Kat. People have called out Ja. People have called out, you know, Rudy Gobert even, right?
Like, I mean, he stepped into two-time All-Star status this year, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. I give Perk credit for even thinking about singling him out, because most people wouldn't even think of they just kind of perceive him as he's the secondary player. But the reality is, like you said, he's a two-time All-Star. He's a Defensive Player of the Year. The burden is higher for him than it feels like sometimes he is held to. The account he is held to nationally is less than what it should be. It's kind of where I'm at, given his profile of player. And given contract he's about to be on. So, yes, that was an unacceptable performance from him. And I'm glad that somebody's called it out on the national level.
Well, again, whether in really larger picture here, I think is, again, you know, this Stephen A., again, coming to Ja's defense a few weeks ago, but having to say, dude, why are you laughing in a 51-point loss on the bench? I don't want to see that. I want to see competitiveness. I want to see pride. I don't want to see that from a guy who should be angry right now, right? And you know, I mean, Ja did debut the shoe, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so he, yeah. And I will say, Kendrick, I thought Kendrick was right about this. We laid off Ja a little bit on that performance because we know he's bothered by that ankle. He's playing through the ankle. He's getting whatever it is, Advil, shots. Kendrick said it's shots. He's playing through something.
Yep.
But that said, I think we had discussed it. The body language did not look good for a team losing by 51.
Correct.
You should have a nasty look on your face if you want to be here. If you want to be here. And then back to Jaren, I think, John, some of us here locally have been sort of screaming this for a while, but it's like you said, you're just sort of screaming into an abyss because it seems like the league has accepted, because he won DPOY, because he's now a two-time All-Star, that a guy like Jaren Jackson, who's going to be third-team All-NBA, like Harrington was talking about, could be making $350 million.
Right.
You've just assumed he's earned it.
Yep.
Here's where you're right. Not since really very early on in his career when he was failing to play. Remember, he was failing. He was struggling to stay on the court. That's part of the contract he's got.
Right.
Yep. He was failing. It's been since then that he's been criticized nationally. Nationally. Because he's had cover since then, really, and he came through that to his credit. To his credit, let's address that. Jaren Jackson started being one of your most dependable player, if not your most dependable player, when it comes to the big three. But he was able to sort of get behind the struggles of the Grizzlies, whether it was Ja, whatever else. Last year, he has the great offensive year. He's still not a rebounder the entire time. And so back to the point, for those of us that have been saying, whoa, 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 you're going to give $350 million, you know, between $300 and $350, Harrington was talking about this morning on what he could get if he makes this third-team All-NBA, which most think he's going to do, to a guy that, you know, in the playoffs has averaged 15 points and in 24 playoff games on 38-39% shooting. And it's remarkably, it's 7 rebounds in the playoffs. That number kind of jumped off. You know, where Kendrick is right, clearly, is an all-star can't be getting away with 4-3 going into a summer where he's likely to get a $300-plus million deal extension from the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, you have to call that out.
Absolutely.
And so if it doesn't – back to the point. Tonight's about a response. We're all expecting loss. But how did Jaren and Ja in particular – now, Bane didn't get as much of the call-out that I heard yesterday on the national level, but the whole team clearly should be called out after the worst loss in NBA history. Again, I realize you played a play-in late. It's unfortunate. You know what? You put yourself in that spot with the collapse this year. So nobody's crying for you now that it's playoff time. So there has to be – again, it goes back to the conversation we were having yesterday – maybe things have shifted to where it's not about as much about rest of roster around these guys, coach that you've got, but more so is this big three ever going to amount to what you need it to in the big moments? For now, it's only got one playoff series win.
Right.
One playoff series win.
Yep.
So I want to see in this loss that you and I both expect, 100% with you, Oklahoma City likely going to cover, I want to see a response – a professional response from Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. Because I do think, whether it's him, whether it's the rest of the team, this should matter to you. Are you checked out? Do you not want to be here? If so, again, organization should have sat out the play-in and kept the pick. Players act like they don't want the big three. Two of them act like they don't want to be out there.
Yeah. And the sick part is like...
I mean, Ja, I guess, because he's getting shots.
Right.
So, I mean, but Bane was not good for what you're paying him. He cannot escape a responsibility here either.
Yeah, and Drew Hill just tweeted this, Ja Morant on Jaren. Just go be Jaren. He doesn't have to be nobody but Jaren. Just because people are saying stuff about him doesn't mean he has to go out and do the craziest thing out there. He be Jaren, we're good. We will be in the game and be able to win the game.
Now, I'm going down this list, and I don't have these 10 bigs ahead of them. Giannis, Jokic, Mobley, AD. This is Perkins.
He said he wouldn't put him in a top 10
of bigs.
He listed off his top 10 bigs? Okay.
Right after, just so it would.
Got it.
You know, for folks that were saying, no, you can't put 10 bigs in front of him. Mobley, AD, Cat. Now, Cat last night, 0 in the second half, but Cat on most nights, and look at Cat's rebounding this year. Şengün, Chet, Wimby. I don't know the Chet's there. Wimby, Zubac. When I looked at Zubac's rebounds, it's 13.5 this year. And about 19.
Zubac's on-off numbers
18,
are
19 points.
They're insane. I get it.
Hartenstein, no. He does one thing, but my gosh, that's what, you know.
Well, like, to me, the problem.
I can't put Hartenstein in.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Jaren's been a DPOY and a two-time All-Star. Hartenstein is not ahead of it.
And honestly,
we're holding Kendrick's take accountable, too.
Sure.
And just but what we agree with and what we don't. Whether it's Chet and Hartenstein,
he's got
Porzingis. Porzingis a champ now. He got on the bus.
No, I mean he did, but man, he delivered too on that bus.
Probably better playoff averages than Jaren.
Oh, no doubt.
And then Bam is his last.
Yeah, I mean I'd probably have Bam. I mean Bam's an Olympic gold medalist.
So he's definitely not. We knew you're talking about an All NBA.
I think
extension
he's
still for a guy that's not top five.
He's still ahead
and
of
is probably somewhere between 8 and 10, right?
Can we agree on that? Because to me, the biggest ones that you're singling out there are Chet and Hartenstein, and they're probably more products of Thunder than – because if you put Jaren in there instead of Chet Holmgren, Jaren would have unbelievable numbers as well.
I agree.
So,
I mean, would he have unbelievable rebounding numbers?
I don't know about that, but
– Well, that part's bad. Anyway –
I mean, Chet averages 8 rebounds a game. I mean,
once you're onto this national stage and you decide to jump in this series, you've opened yourself up to real, fair, I would say, from both Kendrick and Stephen A. in this case. Remember, we loved Stephen A. when he was defending Ja the first time around on the Buddy Hield stuff. Now, he did say, again, let's be smart the second time around. How many times Ja changed up whatever else. But even, I mean, Stephen A.'s like, your stars, he never saw, you never saw, any of your faces smiling in a loss of that magnitude. And so whether it's that or him feeling challenged or not, or Ja, whether it's from media, usually Ja's looking for something like that, or again, Jaren having something to prove. Mm-hmm. Year 7, man.
Yep.
4-3. It's got to be better than tonight. Hopefully, at least in this loss, there is a response from the big three that helps inform you. Again, you really going to pay this guy $300+ million, which is what he's going to be due, essentially, what he can get from you if he makes this All-NBA team.
Yeah.
Which he's probably going to do.
Well,
quite a question.
We'll talk to Jessica Benson about all of this when we get back, get her thoughts on Game 2 and more. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yeah. Black Tie Moving has changed the mood in the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. They get that at Black Tie. They're going to help you. Cross town, cross country. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on budget. They are the best. But you got to call them and get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. Does Jason's dad have a mural dedicated to him? We're going to try to uncover this.
It certainly wouldn't be dedicated to him.
It's dedicated. But we need to find out if it's him.
I don't think it's him.
But we'll do that. Maybe we'll figure out by the end of the show. In the meantime, in between time, we're going to try to figure out how the Grizzlies can play a competitive game with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jessica Benson, of course, from the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network, now double post after playoff games. Extended applause here for an extended intro. She joins us now. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. How are you guys?
All right. Well, what's your favorite pregame speech? We were kind of going back and forth earlier. You know, the Obama "Yes We Can" in 08 was a great one. I mean, I think we need to dig very deep into the bag of speeches here. This goes beyond Al Pacino. This goes beyond 1984 with the Russians. How deep we got to get for the pregame speech here tonight?
I think we got to go Disney Channel original movie. Got to kick it up, America Ferrera. Si se puede, we can do it. You know, got to kick it up. So go back to that. We're really going into the bag.
Yeah. It's what's sad. What's sad is that basically everybody on the team is too young to even know what that is.
They would not even know. They'd be like, "Excuse me, Disney Channel original movies? Never heard of them."
Yeah.
It's so simple to say, and yet it feels like such an uphill battle to climb. You just have to try. Just be better. Be better than you were in game one, and that bar is low. Don't lose by 51. And obviously I'm not sitting here saying, okay, well, if they lose by 50, that's a better opportunity. But you just have to show that the effort is there. And it starts with your big three of Ja, Jaren, and Dez, and it goes up and down that roster, and it goes with interim coach Tomas Hizlo. Everybody has to be better, and you just can't leave OKC with two embarrassing losses. You're the 8 seed. You're expected to lose, but there's a reason nobody's talking about the Miami Heat coming after their game one loss to the Cavs. Like, they fought till the end. They lost by a respectable 21 points. They were at least challenging coming into that game in the third and fourth quarter, and Ty Jerome takes over for the Cavs, and it goes from there. But you don't see a lot of people talking their talk about the Heat. It's like, oh yeah, 8 seeds lose to 1. But when you lose by 51, it opens you up to a lot of criticism.
Did you feel like it was fair? Yeah, you ended right where I was going in terms of the national criticism. I don't think John and I agreed with every word from Kendrick Perkins, but certainly the sentiment that an all-star can't come off the floor with 4-3, we heard that, we subscribed to it. Just what you said it, you opened yourself up to it, but was it fair, or are they being picked on in a tough situation here?
Yeah, I think you said it perfect. Like, did I agree with every word that was said, from Kendrick Perkins' rant on Jaren Jackson Jr. to Zach Lowe had some choice words about, the Grizzlies talking a lot of ish over these last few years and not really having anything to back it up. And there's truth in that, but I also don't think the Grizzlies have been talking that talk as much as they were in years prior. There has been a humbling coming out of last season and an understanding that you can't talk first before you have the actions to back it up. But the sentiment, like the overarching sentiment, is that this team hasn't been good enough. And we've seen it from the standpoint of them not being able to beat above 500 teams, especially in the Western Conference. You have to go back to January to see the last time that they beat a competing team in the West, and it was a win over the Houston Rockets. And you just look at their record against good teams, against playoff teams, and so we've known, but you don't think that that's going to culminate in such a bad beatdown. Like, again, 51 points, it makes it different. And so I think tonally it changes things, and it also puts this team kind of in an interrogation room with the spotlight being excessively bright. Like, what needs to be better? If you don't want to be in a situation next year where you're the 8 seed or in the play-in, or God forbid, on the cusp of missing the playoffs, what needs to be better, and how do you start fixing it now?
Yeah, it's that's the thing about the playoffs. It's always, like, really interesting. Maybe not this early. In the playoffs, like, maybe this is like a semifinal, but there's always like that, okay, you lose game one, what's the adjustment game two, right? Like, there's all, some like last night a little bit, it didn't really work, but you saw the Nuggets go zone a little bit against the Clippers. You saw them blitz Kawhi, again, I don't know if it worked, but is that the hard part of this series and really just the opponent? Is it like, okay, you want to go small against the Thunder? Good luck. Like, they'll thrash that as well. Like, is that the hard part, that there's no obvious and simple adjustment to, or tweak to even make.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you want to shut down their star? Okay, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just had 15 points, and
right.
It didn't matter. They put up 131. Like, you look at their end-of-the-bench lineup that they're rolling with against the Grizzlies' end-of-the-bench lineup at the end of that game, and it's Wiggins and Cason Wallace and the other Jalen Williams, and you just think to yourself, like, they have a plethora of players to choose from. They could truly be an example, if they go all the way, of the importance of depth, because you almost have a situation where even if you were to neutralize their star or stars or starters, you have an entire second rotation that can come in off the bench and be just as productive, or at least competitively productive, in the postseason. Or at least that's the case that we saw against the Grizzlies in game one. And so it is difficult to look at that first game and think, okay, well, this is the key adjustment. I mean, I guess if you had to pick one thing, don't turn it over 24 times. Don't allow that OKC defense that has been tremendous all year and been really good at turning the ball over. So you know that. Know your opponent. That's what they're going to try to thrive upon. And if you're the Grizzlies, you have to take much better care of the basketball. We just saw the series with the Clippers and the Nuggets, two great games. But what's been the biggest difference maker outside of adjustments or Kawhi going off or Jokic being Jokic? It's whichever team didn't turn the ball over 20 times won the game. So it was the Nuggets in game one, it's the Clippers in game two. And if you're the Grizzlies, you gave up 24 points off those turnovers the last go around. Sure, and in that situation, you're only losing by, I can't do the quick math, by 25 instead of 51.
There we go.
But it is the start of something better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we can. We can lose by 25. Why not us?
Why not?
Yeah, I guess that's okay. How much of a, we've talked about Jaren and Ja being challenged. I think it was Stephen A. that challenged Ja, and Bane's got to be better as well. What is the proper level of account to hold Isolo in a situation? Can we at all in a situation like this, in terms of getting guys to play and buy in? If they weren't bought in, and a lot of the talk, or at least the body language, looked like that for game one, and we get some of it was tough turnaround, how much are we watching and holding him responsible for player buy-in in this game?
I can't put a ton of that on him. It's not like he was here when this team lost by 40 to the Lakers 2 years ago. That was an experience that should have been a wake-up call, a reality that you never want. Losses come in the playoffs, but it's an effort dependent on how bad you're going to allow that to kind of spiral into. So I won't put that on him, but I do think you learn very quickly that coaching in the playoffs is different than coaching in the regular season, as moving into the interim head coaching role is different than being an assistant. Like, this is all very much baptism by fire for Coach Isolo. And you look at that first game, and with Ja on the bench for the entirety almost of that, like, 30-5 run that the Thunder go on, you probably don't want to do that again, right? Like, that's a quick adjustment. And I know you're dealing with Ja's ankle injury, and that is something. No one wants to hear injury excuses this time of year. Damian Lillard's coming back with a deep vein thrombosis and putting the life on the line to play. But it is still a fact. Like, up until Friday, we were talking about Ja Morant getting injections into his ankle to allow him to be capable of playing in that game against the Mavs. So you assume there has to be some rest somewhere, but you need him to be in that upper 30s, bordering on 40-minute mark, and you have to be really selective. And when you put him on the bench, and I would hope that there were some learning opportunities of calling timeouts, of strategically using TV timeouts in there as well, just to ensure that you don't allow it, or especially a team like the Thunder, where it really does feel as if it can just pile on so quickly. I know I think it's the Cavs who use the term cavalanche when it all happens so fast, but the Thunder are just in that same exact territory where you blink. And I think it was the last time the Grizzlies and Thunder played in the regular season. It was a close game, and then the Thunder went on a 17-2 run.
Yep.
And it's like, how did that happen? So figuring out how to cut those off, those kind of runs off, before they really explode, I think will be an easier, or at least just an obvious adjustment for Coach Isolo here in game two.
You're right about OKC. I mean, everything about him has just been, it blows you away. They've got, you know, depth at every position as well. If they go on, it was a scenario we brought up yesterday, that maybe you feel a little bit better about this if OKC goes on and thrashes everybody. Now, if, you know, you're going to have to either beat, you know, Jokic or the Clippers, and Kawhi looked awfully good to do that. But if they did, Jess, if they just, you know, live up to this net rating that's either first or second we've ever seen, and do thrash everybody, and the Celtics got through,
Would you still lean Celtics because of the experience, or at that point are you all bought in if they've come out of a what was said to be a historically competitive West and just thrashed everyone?
And you won that West by 16 games.
Right.
And so I think it's a matter of, you know, first things first, what does this Grizzlies series look like? Do the Grizzlies somehow steal one, which feels less likely than it did before they lost by 51, but there's still a chance. And then, like, are they beating the Grizzlies by 50, 20, 25, 17, or do things get a little bit closer? And then you move on to that next round. And I do think between the Clippers and the Nuggets, that Clippers team looks awesome. And I know we've said this before, but if Kawhi Leonard can stay healthy, that is a true contender of a team. So if they get past something like that, I think there's genuine reason to believe in the Thunder having the opportunity to hang with a team like the Celtics and ultimately compete for an NBA title.
I'm just like at a point.
I love this Thunder team all year.
I'm with you.
I'm at a point as a sports fan where, like, I'm just believing the math. Like, all year long in college basketball, we were told that four teams in college basketball at KenPom were like the highest net rated teams we've ever seen. And like they all, like we had all four ones in the Final Four. And all we've heard about this Thunder team all year long is that, you know, it's the second highest net rated team behind the 96 Bulls. And like, so I'm just at a point now where I know it's we're talking about like a 1 year sample and it's like stupid, but I'm just like not going to ignore what the ratings and the analytics say. Like, I'm not gonna be an atheist when it comes to that. I'm gonna believe every bit of it. You know, some people will say like, oh, I don't care about that. When you get to the playoffs, you know, it's a whole new season. You know, some people would say, but I'm like, no, it's obviously not. Like, this team is constructed and engineered in such a way.
Certainly not for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies can't show it's a whole new season.
Right. Maybe eventually they run into some resistance. You know, Celtics or something.
Right.
You know, maybe next series even. But I don't know. I think people should believe what the numbers tell them.
I do, too, and I think you believe a team that saw areas where they were deficient in last postseason, and they went out and tried to fix some of those holes, right? Like both the addition of Isaiah Hartenstein and then Alex Caruso, who comes off the bench. Like, both of those things made this version of the Thunder better than last year's version of the Thunder, and just because you don't have significant playoff scars, listen, like I just pointed out the Grizzlies' 40-point loss to the Lakers a few years ago. Not all playoff scars guarantee better playoff experiences in the future by any means. And so I just think the Thunder team is so deep, so talented. If as Nico Harrison says, if defense wins championships, this Thunder team is built to win a championship.
I always thought JB got a little bit of a raw deal, not saying it wasn't time to move on, but especially the way that was handled at the end. Are we not all just maybe some of us a little bit more secretly than others, but just some of us outwardly cheering for J.B. Bickerstaff and this Detroit Pistons story? What a win last night. Everybody's saying, well, they're a different level. They saw it. They blew that fourth quarter lead. They hung in there last night. I was happy for J.B. and the Pistons.
From one J.B. to another. We always root
there you
for
go.
All J.B.'s. No, I love it for Detroit, and I think Grizzlies fans can both feel maybe some sort of way about this because it reminds you of better times. But the Pistons are in that spot where, like, they're playing with house money. This is the most fun time.
Yes.
And you go out, you lose game one, but you competed. You were right there in the end. And you have people say, ah, you know, they're young. They have to build their playoff scars. And then for the turnaround in game two, like, the quick lessons learned by Cade Cunningham, you're looking at him. He is an absolute star. I thought he played so smart, so physical last night. Gets the 33 points. And really, along with Dennis Schroeder and having those vets who make those big plays down the stretch, and Schroeder had a huge three.
Yep.
But it was so fun to just be like, oh, this Pistons team could do it. And the Knicks looked tired and gassed.
They did.
Jalen Brunson flopping all over the place, and Bridges isn't hitting anything in the fourth, and Karl Anthony Towns is dead, and you're just thinking, maybe they could do it. But the fun part for Detroit is, maybe they could do it, but if they don't, it's not the end of the world because they feel
as if
they are poised for an extended run. But I do think the environment game three in Detroit will be out of this world.
Yeah, absolutely right. Jessica, you're the best. Thank you so much,
Thank
as always,
Jess.
For the time.
Thanks, guys.
And we hope that this version of the double post is a little more enjoyable than the last one.
Oh, we sure hope so.
All you asked for is a 25-point loss.
That's all I'm asking for. It seems like a pretty basic request.
Because you can just say, we're building.
Exactly. You got better.
High entropy. Let's build.
There we go.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Jessica Benson from the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt.
So, Tiger, former Tiger, that's a part of that Pistons team as well, played pretty well last night.
Too. Yeah, man. Double-double.
12 and 13.
Double-double Durin.
For old Durin.
Yeah. Goodman was in the group chat saying that the Knicks just lost to, who'd he say? I can't remember. It was somebody and Jalen Durin. I said, hold on. Jalen Durin is a good damn NBA player,
put
sir.
Put some respect on how many rebounds that man has at this point in his career already.
He's going to get a big contract. So everybody relax. Man, he was a good one. He's basically averaging the same thing he averaged at Memphis.
I love to see a 6'10", 6'11", go get them rebounds.
Yeah, man, he is a throwback big man. He's a throwback five man. You put him in there like he's going to finish dunks.
Now, he's a little bigger, stronger than Jaren, isn't he? Now, Jaren's taller, but Jalen is more squarely built.
No doubt. He's a
man-child.
Yes.
And was since the Tigers.
He's not like the...
doesn't look the same.
No. He doesn't really rely on his ranginess in the same way that Jaren does, right? Like, Jaren uses his ranginess, his length.
Yeah, and really stretches out with that long stride.
You know, Jalen is more the bulk. Uh-huh. Inside, you know,
he went up and slammed one from Cade late last night.
Though. Yeah,
he's got to go up above that rim and do what you need.
Durin is like he's like Steven Adams in a way, right? Like it's the same kind of archetype.
Except Steven Adams get on the rim, but rolling like he is.
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of using his strength
and
square shoulders.
But man, Jalen was he was fun to watch at Memphis. There was a time where they thought he would quit the team because there was some kind of disagreement. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't.
We held on. If that would have happened after Wiseman, oh my gosh.
I know. No, that was and this would have, I don't remember exactly
said
what
during,
happened.
During how far were we in?
It was probably like December.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Because you remember he there was a moment where I want to say he like punched something at the forum. You remember that? Is it coming
was it
back?
Him? It was someone that broke the.
Yeah, I was told it was him. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember if there was publicly who it was identified or not.
Yeah.
I didn't, and if it was, I didn't remember it was Jalen.
I don't remember I don't remember what his source of frustration. But there was an injury. There was an injury that he was dealing with, and like the word was he was never going to come back from the injury. He was just going to get ready for the draft.
He played it on through, didn't he?
He sure did.
Respect burger to Jalen Durin.
Yeah, man.
I think he deserves it on this day, where Detroit gets that first playoff victory. My gosh, it's been eons.
Yeah.
Has it not? It felt like it.
Yeah.
And you do it up in Madison Square Garden. Very impressive.
Yep. Here it is. I'm looking it up now. So Jalen Durin missed the January 4th game against Tulsa due to a hip injury, and then he missed two games in January due to a finger injury. So that was the time where it was like up in the air. It was up in the air as to whether he was going to come back.
He did grown man stuff. Finished it out.
Yes, he did. You know, you remember that was when Memphis was like on top of the NIL world, bro. They got
we were just getting
Durin.
Started.
Like they were.
Wasn't there somebody else? Wasn't that
Imani
a part of that?
Yeah, Imani. Yeah.
And we said they were both of them. The initial word was $1 million deals from FedEx or something.
And like you know, Panini and Bose and.
Now that's when folks were getting, you know,
well, $1 million was like something.
Oh yeah, we were setting the market.
Yeah,
according to some report.
Now $1 million ain't even getting the phone answered. For a guy like Jalen Durin.
Baraka said, I want 1.2.
Exactly. Exactly. And
you can ask for it, brother.
Unlike Barack, we said, no, we can't.
Mm.
And now I don't know.
No, you're right.
I don't know where he went.
How's his stuff looking?
Oh, he's looking great, man. He's.
I see you're monitoring his movement in the portal.
Yeah.
Watch out. He might trip somebody in the portal. Y'all be careful in there.
Yeah.
Somebody might get hurt. Barack will take you out.
That man shot 43% from three.
Bro, he must. What is that? 12 threes?
If that.
Taken?
Let's see. How many did he take this year?
It couldn't have been many, bro. He was barely out there. I said 12. I was very close.
Yeah.
The agent's going to sell that. Shooter.
Just don't look at the amount.
He really improved his numbers from three at Memphis.
Yes.
That's what they're going to tell him.
No, I mean, Penny Hardaway does it again.
Should get him about $800,000.
100%.
The way things are going out in this wild, wild west.
Yeah. Yep. But how do you go from being an 8-point a game guy to a 1.5, though? That's terrible. That is absolutely awful. I mean, he looked like he'd be a different player when he got here. Like, okay, he got a chance, but yeah, man, tough deal.
Well, the toughest it was for was Tyrese.
Yes, it was.
Never forget what he did and how this ended for him.
We haven't heard from Tyrese Hunter since, man. Like, I feel like
if I were him, I'd want to. I mean, you have to get up and pursue your professional career. You're an absolute stud.
Yeah.
But come on, the way that ended, that's supposed to be my final ride in the tournament.
Yeah. Tough, man. Could have done something while you were there, too, is the problem. So.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Barack. All right, we'll come back. Penny Hardaway talked about PJ Haggerty.
Mm.
What'd he say? We'll get to that in the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I'd turn to FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.